Oh my goodness, happy Thanksgiving to us, right? That's so good. Lloyd, I know you wanted me to come bust a move with you on that, but listen, here's the deal. This is me right here. This is where I live. That's all I got. You know what I'm talking about? This is so good. Oh my gosh, that's so good. Thank you. Listen to this. You all have a seat, but I want you to listen to this scripture. This is Psalm 30. Listen to how it ends. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. And that my heart may sing your praises and not be silent. Lord, my God, I will praise you forever. Listen, I don't know if this is your first time here at The Crossing, if you're maybe struggling with some stuff these days, or if you're really excited to be here. I'm just telling you, this is the hope that we have in Jesus. He clothes us with joy. And when we experience that, well, then we just can't contain it. We cannot contain our praise. So here's what we're gonna do today. We're turning the corner to Advent. I'm gonna tell you a few stories, but first, would you pray with me? Father, we thank you for meeting us here in this place. God, it is a profound mystery that you would be here in our midst as we gather together at all of our sites and people who are watching online, and yet you are with us. You are with us and you love us and you are speaking to us even now. And so we pray that through your Spirit, we would hear your word, that we would hear how you're calling us to live life differently as we step into this next season, God. And I pray for all of us who are coming from so many different places. Whatever it is we're bringing with us today, God, I am grateful that you are big enough to meet all of our needs. So we ask that you would speak to us through your Spirit now, in the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. So way back when I was in college, which was over 20 years ago now, so that's a thing. But I had a friend named Joe who was kind of like a spiritual mentor to me. We would spend time together about once a week. And what we would do is I would go to Joe's house and we would get into his little red pickup truck and we would just kind of drive all over Kirksville. We would go run some errands and we would go visit friends. And along the way, we would talk and catch up on life. And we would pray together. Sometimes we would open up scripture together and wrestle with it. He would listen really well and ask me really good spiritual questions and encourage me. And it was just so good. I had these precious, priceless conversations with Joe over the years. And they're still special to me. In fact, if you don't have a Joe in your life, you should get one. Maybe that's what you came for today. You should seek somebody out who you can have these kinds of conversations with. But anyway, Joe and I, on one particular day, were driving around in his truck. And we were talking, we had a good conversation. He was asking me how I was feeling. And the truth was, I just said, Joe, these days I feel like out of order. I don't know if anybody can relate to this, but it was like, I just feel like my life is disorganized. Everything's a chaotic mess. My thoughts are a mess. I feel like I can't keep up with things. Have you ever been there before? It was just one of those seasons. And I know that even those of you who are like super organized, there are times where you feel like you can't get up on top of everything. And even when you do get some things checked off the to-do list, it still isn't satisfying because life just feels like it's a mess. And you have a hard time keeping up with all of it. So anyway, that's what I was feeling. And I was trying to explain all of this to Joe, and he's listening and he's understanding, he's helping me with it. And then as we're driving, we finish running errands and he turns down the street that leads to my apartment, my college apartment where I lived. And I remember thinking, oh shoot, Joe thinks that he's just dropping me off at home. He forgot that I met him at his house. So he said, oh, hey, Joe, thanks. We need to swing by your house so I can get my car. And Joe said, oh yeah, no, I just keep hearing you say that you feel disorganized, and I was wondering if I could see your apartment. I know. I mean, can you feel it? Do you feel what I felt? My stomach was in knots all of a sudden. I'm sure my face turned red. I was like, oh, Joe, that's okay. You don't need to see my apartment. I mean, have you ever seen a college apartment before? It's a mess, guys. I mean, seriously, we were the worst. My roommate and I, we were good guys, but we were slobs. And so there was clothes all over the place and papers and books strewn about, you know, from pretending like we were studying. And there was dishes piled up in the sink and they were dirty and there was trash that needed to be taken out. There were like empty Mountain Dew cans by the dozens all over the apartment because this was the 90s and we drank Mountain Dew like it was on clearance. And so we just like, we were like, it was a mess. And I was thinking, oh, I cannot believe Joe's gonna see my apartment. Well, here's the thing. Joe knew exactly what he was doing. He was connecting the dots in my story, and he was putting some things together, and he was trying to help me get past the season that I was in. And the truth is, sometimes we just get to a place where our lives feel disorganized and out of control and chaotic, and our living spaces can be a reflection of that, right? So at least I know that's true for me. But what's more important is Joe was trying to point me to a kind of life that was intentional. A kind of life that you were living on purpose, where you were trying to live in such a way where you don't feel like you're always playing catch up. And that's part of what I want to talk to us about today. You know why? Because it's Advent. It's Advent, and this is an important season for us. And part of what we're going to be talking about today is how we're going to begin to anticipate Christmas, the birth of Jesus, the coming of the King. And I don't want us to miss it. See, I want to remind us again today of why this season matters so much and why it's so much more than just counting down the days till Christmas. I mean, I know most of us, we grew up with those Advent calendars, right, that have 25 days, and you just go through them, and every day you open the little door or you get the little chocolate from around the world or whatever it might be, and you're getting ready to celebrate at Christmas time, and maybe you grew up in a church where there were like those Advent wreaths with candles, and you light one each week, and you count down to Christmas. Listen, we've done that here at the church before. It can be a really great way for us to kind of mark the time as we get ready for this. But the thing is that Advent is way more than that. Now, one of the things we've said before is that Advent is a word that is used to describe the arrival of something or someone. That's really what the word means. So that's what Advent is. It's supposed to be an anticipation of the arrival of Jesus. Now, we see it used this way all throughout Scripture. In fact, just as an example, let me show you just one little passage. This is in James chapter 5. So James is writing to his church. He's writing to people, and he's trying to help them anticipate the day when Jesus returns. Not his birth, but his second coming. And so he says this. He says, "You too be patient and stand firm, because the Lord's coming is near." Now, we've had some really great Greek lessons the last few weeks. Let's keep it going, can we? I want to show you the Greek word for the Lord's coming. The Greek word there is the word parousia. Go ahead, turn to your neighbor, say parousia. You learned a new word today, all right? Now, I want you to know that is not the same as the word we've been looking at in the last few weeks, which is parousio. This is parousia, different word, okay? But it literally means the arrival or the coming of something, or even can be translated like the presence of something, okay? Now, interesting little fact there. You're like, what does that have to do with Advent? Well, let me show you. James was writing in Greek, and that's why there we have that word. But hundreds of years later, the church translated the Bible into Latin. We won't go into why, but they call it the Latin Vulgate. So guess what the Latin word is for parousia? It's the word Adventus, which is where we get our word Advent. See, for centuries now, the tradition of the church has been that the Advent season would be a time not just to celebrate the Lord's first coming to earth, where Jesus was born, but also to anticipate his second coming and to kind of wrestle with what it means for us as followers of Jesus to live in this in-between time. So what that means is that we now are going to be celebrating for the next few weeks the birth of Jesus, but also anticipating his second coming, his Advent. It's both. And another way to look at this is just, it's a chance for us to ask ourselves some really important spiritual questions. Are we ready for Jesus to come into our lives? Are we prepared for this? Are we living our lives in such a way that we can do this with Jesus? For those of us who are followers of Jesus, Advent is a time to take spiritual stock of our lives and recenter, reorient ourselves around Jesus. That's what this is for. But listen to me, if you are someone who is seeking Jesus, if you're exploring who he is, maybe you would not yet call yourself a follower of Jesus. Advent is for you too. Very much so, because the question you can be asking over the next few weeks is, what would it be like for Jesus to have an Advent in my life, for me to receive him? So we're gonna wrestle with this together. Now, for those of us who are doing this, I know we like to debate about when Advent season officially begins, We have really strong opinions, don't we, about when those decorations go up and when we can actually flip it over to KEZK and start listening to the Christmas music, right? You have opinions about that? I know there's people here who, like, they start listening to Christmas music in July and the rest of us just think that's a little strange. But we have opinions, right? So really quickly, let's go ahead and have it out. Let's have that debate. I want you to turn to the people around you and just say, when do you think it's okay to put up the decorations and listen to the music, okay? Have you done it this week or are you waiting? Where are you with that? Talk to each other. Did you settle it? Did you convince the person next to you? Probably not, right? How many of you have your Christmas decorations up already? Yeah, how many of you are gonna do that, like, I don't know, this afternoon? Yeah, that'll be us. All right, how many of you have already started listening to Christmas music? Here's the thing, when it comes to Advent, it's really, there's no debate, there's an official start to Advent. You know when it is? Today. It officially starts today. You count back from Christmas Eve 4 Sundays, and that's Advent. That's when it begins. So what that means is, whatever you think about when we should start this season, Advent starts today, so it's time. Let's go, let's do this. If you have your Bibles, we're gonna be in Matthew chapter 25, and we're gonna start in verse 1. We're gonna look at one of these famous parables, these stories, little short stories with a point that Jesus used to tell, and this is a really good one. In fact, how many of you have heard of the parable of the prodigal son? Yeah, it's a good one. That's not the one we're looking at today. How many of you have heard of the parable of the Good Samaritan? Another famous parable. We're not looking at that one either. How many of you have heard of the parable of the 10 virgins? A few of us. Okay, all right. Well, that's the one we're looking at today. So you already have questions, right? We're gonna start in verse 1, and let's just read this together. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. All right, well, we should probably just stop right there and go, who are these 10 virgins? Why are we talking about them? And why are they going out to meet the bridegroom? The Bible can sound really strange to us sometimes, can't it? I think that's one of the fun things about reading scripture. See, if you really understand, this passage that we're looking at here was put to paper like 2,000 years ago. It was a completely different world in those days. People had different traditions, different words, different ways of doing life. And so part of our job today now is to try to understand what the world looked like back then so that we can understand what they're saying. But here's the amazing thing about scripture. If you will do that, if you'll do the hard work and look at the context, it still speaks to us today. Scripture talks to us about this life that we are invited into with Jesus. And that's what we get to do together. It's a really cool thing. So in verse 1, we have these 10 virgins. And so what's going on here? Well, listen, the readers of scripture back in those days, the people who heard these words from Jesus for the first time would have known exactly what he was talking about. This is a wedding celebration that's taking place. So what were weddings like back in those days? Well, we don't know a ton, but we do know a little bit. One of the things we know is that they were a really big deal. People made a huge deal out of weddings when they took place in their communities. Really no different than today, right? I mean, if you think about it, we put all kinds of attention and resources into making weddings as beautiful as we can make them. We want the reception to be just perfect because we want that bride and that groom to have like the perfect day that they remember for the rest of their lives. And man, do we pour into that. Well, they used to do that back then. I have friends right now who are sweating the details of a wedding celebration that's coming up, and they are crossing all the T's and dotting all the I's and trying to get it all squared away so that it can be just as memorable as possible. Well, they would do that in these days too. They would just do it a little bit differently. But they wanted this to be a significant occasion. but not just for the bride and groom. They wanted it to be for the whole community because they believed that for two people to join into a union of marriage, to create a new family, that that was going to have an effect on the whole community. So everybody was invited to celebrate in this way. So part of what that meant is that a wedding celebration in those days would take like several days. It would go on for a long time. And there were many components to a wedding. One of those was this procession that would take place from the bride's home where she grew up to the groom's home where they are now going to live and establish their family together. Now, if the bride lived in a different community, a different village than the groom, then this would be a really long procession because they would make their way to this new home. And again, the community where the groom grew up, where the groom lived, the people who all knew the groom and maybe were just meeting the bride for the first time, were really excited to welcome them into the community. And so what they would do is they would roll out the red carpet of welcome. They would do everything they could to make this couple feel like they belonged in this new community. Welcome home. And one of the ways they would do this is they would select some young women from the community to stand at the ready, ready to receive the new couple. Okay, that's who these 10 virgins are. Now, virgin is a word that means something a little different for us than it did in those days. When we look at this in scripture, you need to know it's just young, probably these were unmarried young teenage girls who were a part of the celebration. That's why some translations will use the word bridesmaids. So if that's helpful for you, then just think of them as bridesmaids. But just imagine now these sweet girls who now get to be a part of this and they're gonna go out and they're gonna welcome the groom and his bride as he brings her into his new home. And now that we know all of that and you start to get that picture in your mind, let's keep reading. Verse 2. So five of these young women were foolish and five were wise. The foolish ones took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. All right, so you've got five of these girls are prepared, five of these girls are not prepared, but all of them fall asleep. Why? Because the bridegroom is taking a very long time to get there. Now, there's actually a lot of reasons for why that could happen. It was to be expected. Again, if they were coming from a different village, this could be a long journey. They could encounter obstacles along the way. It could be that the groom was just going over some last minute details and negotiations with the bride's family. Whatever it might be, he was taking a long time, and so they're all asleep. And so then, in verse 6, it says, at midnight, the cry rang out. Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him. Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps, getting their lamps already, making sure that they're burning brightly. The foolish one said to the wise, give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out. No, they replied. That's how I read that it's no. There may not be enough for both us and you. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. But while they were on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The virgins who were ready went in with him to the wedding banquet, and the door was shut. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly, I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch because you do not know the day or the hour. Now, can you picture this scene taking place? It's vivid in my head because almost every wedding that I've been a part of, somebody forgot to do their job or someone was just a little unprepared, right? Maybe the pastor didn't quite have his lines down. Maybe the best man forgot the rings. Maybe they forgot to put the flowers in water overnight and so they were a little bit wilted or whatever it might be. I mean, these kinds of things happen in almost every wedding I've ever been a part of. The musician just didn't know the song as well as they should have, whatever it might be. And it happens. And so that's a little bit of what's going on here. But what Jesus is gonna do is he's gonna take this story and say, even though five of these girls were ready and five of them were not, this is what happens when you're not ready. You missed the party. So Jesus's point that we get to, like it's for us today, is simply this. Be ready. The bridegroom is coming. We need to be ready for him. So for us, this is way more than just decorations and shopping lists and to-dos and music and all of that. I'm not saying that that stuff isn't important, but I am saying spiritually, there's so much more. The good news of Christmas is that God himself is the bridegroom, and he has come. He has come into our lives. He is Emmanuel. That word literally means God with us. He is with us. Jesus is with us. And maybe you have questions about this. Maybe that's part of what you're wrestling with because it doesn't make sense. Well, it doesn't make sense, but this is what God has done. And there's two things that we need to understand about this. First, he came before you knew you needed him. Romans says that we were still sinners, Christ came for us. He moved into our world when we were oblivious to the fact. We knew that there was something broken about our existence. And God said, I know the solution, and only I can make things right. And so without even being asked, I'm gonna move into this world, and we're gonna make things right. This is the promise of Christmas. But it's even more than that. I hope you hear that God is not some distant, cosmic, strange deity who is completely unknowable. God is not up in the heavens not paying attention to the lives we live and the difficulties that we struggle with. God is not unattainable, unreachable, or unknowable. In fact, Scripture tells us over and over again that he is here. As we often say, he is as close as your next breath, and he is deeply familiar with the burdens that you carry. In fact, he wants to walk with you. He wants to navigate those together. That is a part of how he's making things right. So Advent becomes an opportunity for us to welcome him again into our homes and into our hearts and to lay out the red carpet of welcome and celebration and say, Jesus, you are welcome here. We will keep our lamps burning in a way to, as if to say, we are ready. We're ready to receive you and we're ready to celebrate your presence in our lives. So really the question today is, are you ready for that? Are you ready for him to enter in? Are you living your life these days in such a way as to be ready for Jesus to come? Yes, I am talking about being ready for the second coming. That's a part of this. It's being prepared for the day when Jesus returns. But it's more than that. It's really, are you ready to even speak to him now? To allow him to speak into the details of your life even now? Here's what I'm saying. When we talk about being ready to celebrate Christmas, when we talk about being ready to receive Jesus and all that comes with this season, I wonder if we couldn't use a moment to prepare ourselves. I wonder if this isn't a good time for us to move into these next few weeks with intention, with purpose, as though we were anticipating that God was going to move, because I believe that he is. And so I wonder if there isn't something that we do as a church that we've done for like the last 16 years that couldn't help us prepare for this. So can we talk again about this Advent conspiracy movement? I know some of you have been a part of this with us for years, but there are many of you who this might be your first time hearing of this movement. So let me just go back. We kind of started to talk about it last week, but in 2006, Greg and a couple of other pastors, one from Seattle and one from Houston, were at a conference together, good friends, and they were just talking about how they felt like year after year, they and their churches were missing the opportunity to welcome Jesus into our hearts, to really welcome his arrival. And so they said, I wonder if we could change that. And so they took their cue from Scripture. They said, well, since the Christmas story is all about the incarnation, it's about God squeezing himself into human frame so that he could come and live among us and be with us and understand this life we live and meet our needs both physically and spiritually. Since Christmas is about the incarnation, what if we decided together that we were going to try to be incarnational in the way that we celebrate? What if our Christmases at each of our churches began and ended with worship? When you read the Scriptures in the story of Jesus' birth, you start to see that that's what nearly everybody else in the story ends up doing. They worship Jesus. The shepherds, the prophets, the angels, these wise men from afar, this sweet, faithful girl named Mary and a really honorable man named Joseph, all of them end up worshiping Jesus. This is what the birth of Jesus leads them to. So how do we get back to that? I love the way they ask this question in the Advent Conspiracy book. They say, what if instead of acting like bystanders to the nativity, our churches were led into the Christmas story as participants? So we call it Advent Conspiracy because it really was a way for us to try to conspire together as followers of Jesus to not miss this season and to push a little bit against the consumerism and the commercialism that is so pervasive in our culture these days, and to bring it back to Jesus, to the anticipation of his advent. And so we wrestle with this together, and as we've been saying, it started in 2006 with just a handful of churches. But this movement caught traction and it started to grow. And we looked at this map last week, but I just want you to see this again. This is how big this movement has gotten. There are thousands of churches all over the world in places like India and Africa, South America, China, all over the place. I'll never forget, I think it was 2008, 2009, when all of a sudden we started to see copy print materials that were put together by a church in Germany, and they had translated all of the AC stuff into German. That was so exciting for us. This is how this thing just kind of took off, and it's not ours. People are doing this on their own, and it's just this amazing thing. So again, what if those four tenets, because there are four kind of principles of Advent Conspiracy that kind of guide us through this, what if all of those really could help us begin to prepare ourselves for this season, to kind of put things in order and to live with intention? Could they actually help us get ready for the arrival of Jesus? Well, let me just walk you through now these four tenets in case you've never heard them before. And along the way, I'll show you how we as a church are trying to provide really practical ways that you can live these out. But I'm actually gonna start, what's the old saying? Let's begin with the end in mind. Let's start with the last tenet for a minute, because ultimately all of this leads to a thing called love all. That's number four. And I want you to get a picture here at the outset of all of this of how this is incarnational. I want you to see where this whole story leads. So we're gonna watch something here. This is a video that was filmed just this past summer. In fact, a few of us got a chance to go to a community in Zambia. The name of this community is Chinini. Now, here's what you need to know. It's a very rural community. They're farmers. You'll hear about that. But it's not a small community. It's like there's like 1,200 people living in this village, which is actually really, really big. And I want you to look, and as you're watching this and you're listening to them tell their story, I want you to think, how did we get from a church in St. Louis, Missouri, to where we could impact a church that's like on the other side of the planet? Be thinking about that, and then we'll talk some more. Watch this.
This is the Chinini village. Yes. This village is somehow big. It is very, very big. In Chinini, we do keep chickens, cattle, goats. Yes, we depend on soil for survival, food security, everything. We are farmers. Little did we know that it is important for us to have toilets. We used to depend in bush in terms of defecating. So that brought a lot of diseases. And a lot of people were dying due to that. When this living water came and we were called, the representative representing this village, we were called for a training, short training for hygiene promoters. And we've been going around to teach about hygiene. And due to that, people have been forced to dig toilets at each and every household. There is a toilet.
This is the source for the water point for the two communities. There is a Chinini village and then the nearby community. The two communities used to survive from this water source. And this water source, they are saying that this water source never used to dry up. It always had water throughout the year, and the people, they used to survive from the same one. So now it's not being used for most of the domestic purposes in their communities or their households. So this is how far these people have moved on from this water point, the same water points that we have worked on.
We are now getting fresh water from this one and also from that one. Earlier on I said that the village is big. So the village is very happy. Is very happy to see the coming in of living water, for help of water, and even for bringing hygiene.
So just to call this out, I bet you heard a word that you didn't think you'd hear in church. Let's just talk a little bit about what Living Water International does when they move into a community. It's more than just water access. That's the first part of it, but they have an acronym, WASH, Water Access, Sanitation, and Hygiene. They've found that by combining all of those things, that it really does change the life of a village. So 1,200 people in that community, before Living Water got there, only half of the homes had latrines, toilets of their own. And so one of the things Living Water was able to, they were able to go in there, and he talked about this. Now, every single home in that community has a latrine. That might sound weird to, that is a big deal for this community. So the question is, how do we get from Christmas, from Advent, to making that kind of a difference in a community on the other side of the world? How do we do that? Well, it's through these four tenets. So let me take you through them now. Ultimately, it starts with how we are going to be ready to welcome Jesus in our lives. And the word for that, how we prepare our hearts, is we make the whole season about worship. We worship him fully. We declare that he's worthy of all of our praise. And by the way, we do this not just at church, not just on the weekends, but we do it all the time. In fact, for those of you who follow Jesus, if you're not already, I want to challenge you to make worship a part of your everyday life. It can be music, but it doesn't have to be that. It can be prayer. It can be time you spend with him. It could be that you go outside, you go to things that remind you of Jesus, that make you feel close to him, and you do that, and you worship because he's worthy of all of our praise. And honestly, as we go into this season, I just think that's what many of our hearts need. We need to live in a spirit of worship. Now, our teams have been dreaming up ways that we can invite you into this more and more. And one of the things we've got is if you go to our YouTube channel, search for us there, we're gonna be posting some videos over the next several days where our worship team has put together some music to just invite you into worship. They've had so much fun putting this together for you, and it's just gonna be a great way for you to experience this through the week. Invite friends and family to do it with you and make this a part of your regular rhythm. But then it is on the weekends too. See, we are going to be looking for the next several weekends at different people in the Christmas story who eventually made their way to worshiping Jesus. Everybody we were talking about a minute ago, the shepherds, the prophets, the angels, all of these folks. But here's the thing, it's all going to tie together. It's all going to connect us and prepare us for Christmas, for when we get to that moment and we celebrate his birth. And so my challenge to you is, keep coming for the next few weeks. Show up. It's an ongoing conversation. Be a part of this with us, because the punchline of the whole month of December around here is gonna be this: Christmas is just better when we do it together. So come, be a part of this. And let's not get distracted by all of the other stuff that we were talking about earlier, as important as they may be, but our calendars and responsibilities and shopping lists. Instead, let's be intentional with the resources we have. Let's be intentional with how we spend our time. Let's be intentional even with our financial resources, which gets us to the second tenet of Advent Conspiracy. It's simply this: spend less. Now, notice I did not say spend nothing. All right? We are not against the giving of gifts. This is not a Scroogey way of going through Christmas. We are not trying to say, let's try to completely disrupt the economic system. That's not the point here. What we're saying is it possible that our expectations of this time of year have gotten a little bit out of hand? What do you think? You think maybe we are so focused these days on trying to please people, on trying to create some kind of Christmas magic for our children or whatever it might be, that our spending's a little bit out of control? You realize our Christmas gifts are going to cost more this year, right? I mean, that's just the reality of this year. If you haven't figured that out, let me just show you an illustration of what I'm talking about. Every year for the last 40 years, PNC Bank has put out for the public something that they call their Christmas Price Index. So they asked this question. You guys know the song, The 12 Days of Christmas? On the first day of Christmas. All right, if you added up all of the gifts that the loved one gets his true love, or that he receives, I guess it's the other way around. If you added it all up, what would be the increase in price from year to year? So it's the Christmas price index. So just to show you, like this year, you might not be surprised to know that the total Christmas price index, or the CPI, is up by 10.5% over last year. As they said in the report, even with its small basket of goods and services, the PNC Christmas price index is not immune to the rising cost in the broader US economy. For example, that partridge in the pear tree, cost is up by 25.8% this year. They say while the price of a partridge is unchanged, continued growth in the cost of its tree, due in part to higher fertilizer costs, means an overall price increase for the first gift in the 2022 index. But that's not the highest increase for this year. Anybody want to guess what the most expensive, like the highest increase is this year? It's those 5 golden rings. You got it. Sharply rising commodity prices in the early part of 2022 have made for an expensive line item on True Love's shopping list. The price of gold rings grew by nearly 40% in 2022, the highest increase in this year's index. Wow, that's a lot. Is there any good news in the CPI? Well, sort of. But it's not very good news for the service industry. The 8 maids of milking haven't seen a pay increase since 2009. So the cost of that gift has stayed the same. Okay, so that's all kinds of silly, but the point is that things are gonna be a little bit more expensive this year. Now that we know that, now that we have that information at our fingertips, what do we do with it? What's the typical response gonna be? Charge it. Let's just worry about it next year. We don't have to think about that right now. We've got gifts to buy. That's the reality of the way we think here in the United States. In fact, Federal Reserve released some information just not long ago that the third quarter this year, credit card debt in the United States increased by 15% over the same time period last year. That's a lot. We are nearly $1 trillion in debt just through credit cards. You add on mortgages and car loans and all of that other kind of stuff, and it's astronomical. So all we're saying when it comes to this tenet of spending less is just don't do that. Do this intentionally. Let's be wise. We've been talking about this for weeks. Let's be wise about the resources that God has blessed us with. You want to take the shackles off your feet so you can dance this Christmas? Then spend wisely. Live your life differently. Try this. Choose to worship this Advent season at the throne of Jesus and not at the throne of mammon. Instead, we get to the third tenet of AC, which is we give more. Now let's dial that in a notch. Give more what? Well, I would say, I think this year especially, give more of your time. Let's be intentional with how we spend our time with one another. Reach out to folks. Get coffee. Make cookies. Plan get-togethers. Go to concerts together. The greatest gift that you could give your friends and loved ones this year is just a little bit more of your attention. Your presence. Your eye contact, your skills at listening well, all of this is something that I just think more than anything, this is what our souls are longing for. Now, if you're looking for gift ideas and you wanna try to find some of those things that you've heard about in the past, things that are a little bit more on the crafty side or more intentional, you can go to Advent Conspiracy's website and you can look, we'll put the link up there for you, and you can look at that and we've got all kinds of suggestions. But you'll see that most of these suggestions have to do with spending more time with one another. Can I just tell you, for my family over the years, we're not that crafty. But the meaningful gifts have been when we've been able to spend more time together. Hey, we're gonna go to this thing together. Hey, we're gonna go for a drive. Hey, we're gonna plan this trip. Those have been the most meaningful things. I was reminded of this a few weeks ago. I got a chance to take my youngest, Josiah, on a backpacking trip. Just for a couple of days here in Southeast Missouri, we were just backpacking around while the leaves were turning color. It was absolutely beautiful. But can I tell you, getting a chance to do this, I got to see some things in Josiah, in my son, that you only get to see when you slow down and pay attention. Can I just brag on him for a minute? It's this unfailing enthusiasm. When he wants to do something like go on a camping trip with dad, he's all in. Even when his backpack didn't fit quite right and we ran into some bumps along the way and we were tired on the trail, he was so in. And the only way I can tell you that about my son is because I spent time with him. Now, I'm really not telling you that to brag on him. I'm telling you that because here's what you need to know. Your Heavenly Father wants the same kind of time with you. He loves you that much. And the truth is, everything that's already in you, he already knows about. His spending time with you isn't so that he can learn about it. It's so that he can teach you about it. Can I show you what I've put in you? Can we do this life together? This is a part of what God is inviting us into this season. It all comes down to time. And I think that more than anything, this is what our souls are longing for right now, is reconnection with each other and with God. So let's give more of our time. This is actually one of the ways that we can be incarnational. The Apostle Paul talks about this in all his letters. It's in Colossians 3, it's in Ephesians 4. If you go to Philippians 2, this is exactly what Paul means when he says that in our relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What was the mindset of Christ Jesus? It was incarnational. He identified with us. He became one of us. So loving each other well is one of the ways that we can prepare ourselves for his advent. Now, again, we as a church want to provide ways for you to live this out. And so here's a big one. Mark your calendars. If you haven't already, this Friday, December 2nd, here at the Chesterfield campus, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m., we're doing our artisan market. We've done this for years now, and we look forward to it every year. If you haven't been before, I wish I could convince you. I wish I could drive to your door and pick you up and take you to this market. It is going to be a night of Christmas magic. It's going to be awesome. We'll have a jazz ensemble that'll be playing in our lobby, one of the best bands in town. Joe Weber, one of our friends here at The Crossings, the drummer for it. They're so good. You need to come hear just that. We'll have a Christmas movie playing out in our courtyard, and there'll be activities and snacks for the kids to be able to participate in. There'll be food vendors here. And then this, over 40 local artisans will be here and set up to sell their products. And so this is a way for you to figure out if there's some intentional gifts that you can buy for your family in every price range here. But here's the kicker. Every one of these vendors who's gonna be a part of this with us that day has already committed that in order to be at our artisan market, they're donating 25% of their sales to an organization here in St. Louis that we care deeply about and that is doing amazing things here. That's the artisan market. Look at that. It's a way to spend quality time with people that you love while spending intentionally, while worshiping, and then getting us back to that fourth tenet of loving all. It all comes together here because now with full hearts, with pocketbooks that aren't quite so stressed out of a spirit of worship, we get an opportunity to make a tangible difference in the lives of others. That's how we get to Chinini. Do you see? That's how this works. Suddenly, the hope of Jesus coming to earth isn't just a story. It is lived out in meaningful, tangible ways. Practically speaking, this fourth tenet of AC will work like this. You take all of the money that you didn't spend on unwanted or unneeded gifts, and you give it away to people you care about, to organizations you care about. It's up to you. You don't need our permission. You can do this however you want. Let me tell you how we're going to do it together as a church. Those big Christmas Eve services that y'all are planning, making plans to come to, we will take an offering in all of those services, just like we always do. Only that offering will leave this building. In fact, all of the money that's collected, unless you tell us otherwise, will go towards our partnership with Living Water International, this amazing organization that we care so deeply about. Our Christmas offering will go towards that. See, year after year after year, you all, this church, has been a leading contributor in solving the water crisis around the world. And this year will be no different. That's how we bless a community like Chinini. And it's not just Chinini, it's Zimbabwe and Liberia and Guatemala and El Salvador and Honduras and India, all over the world. You are making a difference because of Advent conspiracy. So in Luke chapter 2, when the angel is appearing to the shepherds and says to them, "Don't be afraid, I'm bringing you good news that will cause great joy for all the people." Yes, it is this good news that Jesus has come to bring healing and restoration and redemption and salvation to this world. That is the good news. It is available for anybody who will receive him. But for those of us who have received him, who have experienced this salvation that comes from Jesus, our call now is to carry that healing and restoration in real, tangible ways to the rest of the world. This is who we're called to be. This is what it means to be people who live our lives in anticipation of the arrival of Jesus. And that's what Advent is all about. So in the days to come, I want to challenge you. Get ready. Set time aside. Maybe that means you hold a family meeting. It could be with your family or your roommates or some friends, and you just say, can we get together and can we figure out what we're gonna do that we can live this out differently this year so that we can be prepared and intentional and we don't miss it? How is God calling us to spend our resources intentionally, to give more of our time and to love the people around us selflessly and most importantly, worship? See, my Christmas prayer for you all this season is that as a church, we would just not miss our opportunity to worship the King together this year. Let's welcome the groom. Let's welcome the King. Let's worship Jesus fully. So as Joe and I were in that red pickup truck and we were driving towards my apartment and I was just getting redder and redder, I matched the truck, right? We got into my apartment and it was exactly what you would expect it to be. It was a disaster. And I remember sitting in a corner and apologizing to Joe like I'd done something wrong to him. You know, like, I'm so sorry you have to see this. You know what Joe said to me? He said, I didn't come here to make you feel bad. Can I help you clean? See, we need to help each other with this. And that too is being incarnational. So let's work together to figure this out and let's worship differently this Christmas. In fact, wherever you are right now, I wanna invite you as we kind of close, would you stand up with me? Because I wanna give us an opportunity to respond. Some of you are looking at these really beautiful art, this fencing that's at each of our sites, and it's something we did last weekend, and maybe you didn't get a chance to participate in it. You can this week. You can come down and you can write a prayer of gratitude or a prayer of commitment. There's pens and paper that are down here for you, and you can join us with this. Only maybe what you write now is not just Thanksgiving, but it's also, God, will you help me commit to this? Can I live life differently? Help me to prepare for your Advent. Whatever it might be, you can write that down and participate in this with us, but some of you need to go find a family member or a friend and say, can we go grab coffee or lunch and figure this out together? Or maybe you just find somebody and shake their hand and give them a hug and say, I'm so glad that I'm in your life. Let's spend some time together in the coming days. Whatever it might be, I'm telling you, Advent season officially begins now. God is on the move. Jesus is coming. And the good news is that should be a cause for great joy for all the people is that he is here. So let's worship. Let's celebrate. Let's conspire together. Can we? All right, we'll see you next week.